Did I put the clothes in the dryer?
I hope they don't think I was serious.
I need to be awake.
Snacks.
I forgot
my brain shut
off.
Just sleep already.
When your racing thoughts keep you up at night, it's tough to let go and get the rest you need. Better sleep can help. You might have heard of white or brown noise, but there's a whole rainbow of color noises, and they can help you calm your mind, reduce stress, and sleep better, like the green noise you're listening to now. With the Better Sleep app, you can discover more color noises and over 200 soothing sounds, guided meditations, and bedtime stories. High-quality rest is vital to your mental well-being and physical health. Calm your restless mind, conquer your day, and sleep better at night. Download Better Sleep from the App Store or Google Play and start a 7-day trial today. Because when you sleep better, you feel better.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
You are now listening to the Prescription for Purpose podcast, the go-to destination for women who are tired of feeling burnt out and stuck in the exhausting cycle of doing but not thriving. Each week, we'll provide you with Christ-centered mental wellness prescriptions to help you reclaim your peace, renew your purpose, and live life spiritually well. And if you're a therapist or a coach, the tools and insights that we curate here will help you make a Christ-centered impact on your clients today. Are you ready, sis? Let's get started. Hey, friend, and welcome back to another episode of the Prescription for Purpose podcast. First, I want to thank each and every one of y'all for all of y'all's prayers, your love, your support for myself and my family over the last couple of weeks. It has been quite a time, And I'm also just grateful, too, that I was able, even though for a sad occasion, to fly back to St. Louis, see my sister, my nieces, my nephews. My 6-year-old niece looked me in my eyeballs and said, "TT, how come you much older than me, but you're not much taller than me? And if you just laughed, how dare you?" Because it was the most sincere question ever. And it just was a reminder, a sweet reminder of, even in the midst of tragedy, the Lord still allowed for comfort and connection and love. And for that, I am grateful. Also, girl, happy August. You know what it is. It's my birthday month. And I am so excited for all the things that the Lord has been doing, giving, providing. 8 is representative of new beginnings. Okay, the Lord rested on the 7th day. The 8th day was the new week. The 8th month is the year that I was born, or the month I was born, child. And I am just so excited about all the things that God is doing. I am first excited about our accountability connection that we are going to be dropping on Sunday. I have a new framework. I really am so heartfelt when I say that I want us to be able to connect and build community. And so each week, my prayer is that the space that I've created, the framework that I walk you through, you walk through it, you pause where necessary, you do the necessary work, and we can reset our weeks together. There'll be a link in the show notes for those episodes for you to send your wins, to really stay connected with me directly. And if there are questions and things that come up, I will be more than happy to pour into y'all within those episodes. I am excited about today's episode because we're continuing in our series on how to build a life that does not exhaust you. And specifically today, we're talking about sustainability versus survival mode, or essentially why God won't let you win in survival mode. And this is coming from the book of Haggai, which is one of the, we call them minor prophetic books, not minor in terms of messaging. It's just shorter than the other prophetic books. You've probably never read it. You might have, and if you did, girl, I'm proud of you. But I was like, I wonder how many of the saints have ever stopped over here in Haggai and read. The backstory looks a lot like what many of us deal with. There are so many of us who are quietly frustrated and building this resentment towards God. And we have convinced ourselves that we're in a season of stretching instead of recognizing that God does not use dysfunction to disciple us as his daughters because he is a loving father. So we take our time, our energy, our emotions, our resources, and we put them into things that look godly, that sound obedient, and they feel urgent, but we're tired, we're not seeing fruit, and the return is not matching the output, and so we feel resentful. We don't take the time to recalibrate. We just decide we're going to re-strategize, and so we think that we're being faithful, but we're really operating in functional disobedience. This is what survival mode looks like. Our disappointment, our delay, our discouragement, it has shifted us into building what we can manage instead of us doing what God has assigned. Survival mode is not a strategy. When you are doing the work and making decisions and setting goals, and everything still feels off because you're tired and you're overextended and you're burnt out and your results, the math ain't mathing, we oftentimes do not step back, but we lean in and think that we have a discipline problem. Or we think that we have a connection problem with God. You no longer think that you're a daughter for some reason. But what we have to understand is that God is not calling us to build from survival. God is calling us to build a life that is sustainable. And the sustainability starts first with our attachment to him. You may be asking God to bless something that has nothing to do with him. You're asking him to bless something that is dysfunctional. And you're mad because you think that the lack of fruit is God abandoning you. No, the lack of fruit that you're experiencing is God's mercy. God is a good father, a good shepherd. And as part of our agency, we have to know when we're not in alignment. John 15 talks about us being attached, abiding. Fruitlessness is the way that we know, oh, something is awry. Something is amiss. And I don't mean that your perception of fruitlessness. All fruit is not money or material. But true fruitlessness should be a sign, a signal of something is off. Let me go back to the Lord. Instead, we start to allow that to speak failure to us instead of us saying, let me go back to the Father. There may be something I need to change. God will not bless things that are dysfunctional, things that are not in alignment with him. And so when we look at the book of Haggai, specifically, we're going to start in chapter 1. There is this prophetic interruption, and some of the backstory really starts in the book of Ezra, where the people, after 70 years of Babylonian exile, they are allowed to go back to Jerusalem to build the temple. In Ezra 3 and 4, what we see is they start to build the temple. In that, they feel so emotionally excited. They got the word from God. It is speaking to how even in the political climate that they were in, God allowed for the king's heart to be turned to do what he purposed and he promised. Hello? Anybody? King, president, whatever. God's purposes and his plans, his authority overrides everybody. So they're able to go back to Jerusalem to build. There's some mixed emotions. First, excitement. Then when the people did not see that the temple was turning out similar to how Solomon's temple looked, they got a little discouraged. And then here comes the opposition. In Ezra 4, there is some nasty work that happens from people who at first said that they wanted to quote unquote help them. Psychological manipulation, fear tactics, legal delays, and there is a decree that they have to stop building. And that work stops for 16 years. So by the time we get to Haggai, I'm going to read the first couple of verses. Thus saith the Lord of hosts. These people say that time has not come to rebuild the house of the Lord. Then the word of the Lord came by the hand of Haggai the prophet. Is it time for you yourselves to dwell in your paneled houses while the house lies in ruins? Now, therefore, thus says the Lord of hosts, consider your ways. You have sown much and harvested little. You eat, but you never have enough. You drink, but you never have your fill. You clothe yourselves, but no one is warm. And he who earns wages does so to put them in a bag with holes. That's Haggai 1 verses 2 through 6, and I'm reading from the ESV. This is where they are confronted, where God is saying, hey, what happened to y'all building my house? It's been a whole 16 years. There's a whole new king. And you have allowed your disappointment from the last season, from what happened right after exile, that disappointment has shifted you into doing what you think is best or what you think is manageable. And you're doing all of these things, you're putting in all of this effort, and you are not getting any return. Functional disobedience. Let's look at verse 9 real quick. It says, you looked for much, and behold, it came to little. And when you brought it home, I blew it away. This is God speaking. Why? Declares the Lord of hosts, because of my house that lies in ruins, while each of you busies himself with his own house. Therefore, the heavens above you have withheld the dew, and the earth has withheld its produce. And I've called for a drought on the land and in the hills. That's Haggai 1 verses 9 through 11. God is withholding fruit because of his mercy. He is not going to allow your striving, which is survival mode living, unsustainable living, to produce success, because you're going to then think that his character is tied to him being some type of slave driver. You have to be ready and willing to allow God to shift your mind, to shift your perspective, so you can stop surviving and start living a sustainable life. So what does this mean for us, specifically when it comes to our relationship with Christ? Christ is at the center of your life. Sustainability flows from him. John 15. This is why so many of us are exhausted, confused, resentful. If we have consciously chosen disobedience, it would make more sense. However, a lot of us are in what I call functional disobedience. You got here because there was some type of disappointment, disconnection, or discouragement that kicked you into survival mode. And so you start building what you think you can manage and not what God has actually assigned to you. Survival mode is always going to lead you to a place of fruitlessness. The other struggle and the lie of the enemy here is that instead of us asking God, hey, is this a sign that I need to come back to you? We rebuke the lack and call it warfare. We question our call. We question God's character. We try to work harder, pray louder, do more. But if God is the vine dresser, my Bible says it, and so does yours over in John 15, and we are the branches, we don't have the authority to produce fruit apart from him. If there's a problem with the fruit, the only solution that we have is to talk to the vine dresser, to talk to the one who governs the vine, who does the pruning, who checks the quality. I told y'all a couple of weeks back, we have a video assignment that is in the society all about, or not the society, child, in the Spiritual Well app, all about pruning. And the video alone is worth the price of admission. Agency does not look like you striving harder. True agency is looking at what you have and understanding and recognizing when it's time to stop, when it's time to examine, and when it's time to recalibrate. Your obedience is not what is exhausting you. It's functional disobedience that is exhausting you. We are more committed to survival and more loyal to survival than we are to submission. And so God allows for this drought to occur. He's giving us feedback. And it's an invitation for us to return to him. However, we take it on as a character trait. Oh, I'm a failure. No. This is a flag. If God is our shepherd, he's not going to allow us to get too far ahead of him or too far out of our assigned position. Oh, I wish God would speak to me. He is. That's why you're tired. That's why there's no fruit and you're frustrated. So you stop talking to him instead of going back to him and saying, oh, this is not failure. This is feedback. You don't have a discipline problem. All of it is not procrastination, productivity hacks. That's the lie of the productivity gospel. You do not need to download another app, another schedule. You don't need to fast for 40 more days. The real issue here is this sustainable living? Am I submitted? What if the reason that you're tired is not because you're doing too little? What if it's because you're pouring your energy into things that God never called you to do? When you look at Haggai, in Haggai 1, the people in the story aren't lazy. They built homes, paneled homes. Okay, so they were good. It was good. Several degrees, okay? The paneled homes in that time, it was a sign of luxury, craftsmanship. So we've built these lives. You got all the degrees. You have the pathway lined out. They're working, building, striving. So are you. But they had stopped doing what God said. They were working. It just was not in alignment with what God told them to do. And God was very clear. You have sown much, harvested little. You eat, but you never have enough. You earn wages only to put them into a bag with holes. If that sounds like your life, if that sounds like survival mode, you're showing up, but you're not satisfied. You're busy, but you're not seeing the fruit. You're producing, however, there is no peace. The issue is not about you procrastinating. You have to understand that if it stretches you, it's more than likely a survival-based decision. God increases our capacity by adding weight. He multiplies. He does not stretch us thin. Jesus got stretched. That's the end of that. We're not him. For us, he multiplies, increases our capacity. Look at the parable of the talents. The very first thing that it says is that God gave in accordance to their capacity. Multiplication was what was needed. That third servant who was wicked was operating in survival mode and not from a place of sustainability. He didn't even put the money in the bank, but thought he was doing the right thing. He did do something. He thought it through. He had a strategy, had a rationale, all of it. And it was a survival-based decision, not sustainable. We have to stop making decisions from a place of fear, disappointment, and urgency, and then blaming God. God was very clear in verse 9. Hey, you looked for a lot, and when you brought it home, I blew it away. Why? Because my house is in ruins. God is showing mercy. He's not going to let you produce fruit that you cannot sustain. He's not going to let your effort lead to a harvest that's going to pull you further away from Him. And that's why sustainability is a spiritual guideline. It is a standard. This is not about time management. This is not a time management conversation. This is about being in alignment with what God has called you to do specifically. This is not about, is this impressive? Is this profitable? These are not questions that should be at the forefront of your mind. The first question is this sustainable? Is this in alignment with the weight or the assignment that God has actually given me? Real agency is done in this way. Submission does not always mean that you're doing less. It means that you're doing things that are going to last, things that are going to impact your children's children. So when you build outside of alignment, you still may produce, but you're the one carrying it instead of Christ. That's why we're told, come to me if you're burdened, heavy laden, I will give you rest. He said his yoke is easy and his burden is light. If your life feels opposite of that, then we need to put some sustainability measures into play. When we talk about sustainability, this is not just talking about time management or energy levels. We're talking about building a life that is congruent with how God designed you, what He assigned you to do, and what your soul can actually withstand long term. Some people are given 5 talents, 2 talents, 1. Unsustainability or insustainability shows up in a lot of forms. Here's what it may look like. When you are working a job that's not in alignment with your values, that's not sustainable. So you show up, you perform well, you get paid, but you leave there so drained, so emotionally done, it's beyond you being tired. You have to compartmentalize your life. That's not sustainable. I'm not telling you to quit your job tomorrow. Be very clear on that. What I'm saying is continuing to build your life around a job, a career, a position that continues to be disconnected from your life like that is going to compound resentment and burnout. So God can use that dissonance as a red flag to say, hey, this isn't your forever job. I'm not saying quit right now, but there's some lessons I want you to learn here so you can understand what you do need, what you don't need, what you like, what you don't like. And we can start looking for the next position, not just based on money, but based on sustainability. The job that I work now, I told you I took that year off. Me working clinic Monday through Friday, 8 to 5, I could never do that again. I can never do that again. Not because I don't have the capacity to do it. Sure, I can, but I was so unwell mentally and emotionally because that job dictated my life. God showed me in the position that I work now. Y'all know I work after hours clinic. I do every other weekend or 2 weekends a month. The 2 weekends a month is a compromise for me. However, I can do it. I have the capacity for it. because I'm still allowed the rest of my life, the rest of my time. As soon as I get done with this, I got a doctor's appointment and another appointment because I can still take care of myself. The position that I'm in is one that is sustainable, and also I'm allowed to do what I love. There's some compromise in the weekends. There's some compromise in the travel time. However, it checks most of the boxes. I love my job. Once I get there, I hate the drive. The drive is ghetto. The drive home, only 20 minutes. You get in there, sometimes it takes an hour with traffic because of the time that I have to be there. But it's not, friends, something that stresses me out in my quiet time is when I'm trying to highlight something in the book of Joshua, but somehow the ink ends up in the book of Revelation, and the Lord has supplied a solution. Mr. Penn. Mr. Penn is an amazing company that was started by Christian teachers in Louisiana. And girl, you can tell, these Bible study supplies are phenomenal. I have the Bible journaling kit. I also got the Bible study sticky notes and the tabs. And girl, they are everything I need and more. And you need it too, friend. The Bible study kit has highlighters that do not bleed through my Bible. I only want Christ to bleed for me. I don't need the highlighters to do the same. And Mr. Penn has figured out the solution. It has pens, highlighters. It has stickers for prophecies, themes. Like, it is literally everything. And because teachers are teachers, it has a bag to put all of my supplies in. I am in love. The Bible study sticky tabs have dates for me to hold myself accountable to memorizing my verses. So I'm not just sitting there staring at them, but I'm able to continue to really progress in learning the word and keeping it in my heart. And I am in love. They even have custom products for churches, schools, conferences. They sell school supplies. They have Bibles. Everything that you need is over at Mr. Penn. So whether you're upgrading your own quiet time or you want to gift for a friend, Mr. Penn is the move. I need you to shop the best Bible journaling supplies on the market and fantastic gifts for the ladies in your life at MrPenn.com. That's MrPenn.com. And guess what? Our audience gets a special discount. Use the code PURPOSE10 at checkout to get 10% off of your entire order today. That is MrPenn.com, and use the code PURPOSE10 at checkout to get 10% off of your entire order today.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
It's not something that distresses me so bad that it's not sustainable. I can do it. I've been doing it. When your life is not sustainable, you find yourself building ministries or businesses that are built on overextension. So you're calling it sacrifice, and God's like, to who? Is sacrifice in the room with us? Not to me. We're building altars into ourselves. You're creating, you're serving, you're giving, you're doing everything, bypassing your limits. You're burdening yourself with stuff that God hasn't called you to do, Charlotte. I'm thinking of my own entrepreneurial journey. And that is not the fruit of obedience. That is the residue of the productivity gospel, telling you that the more you put out, the more you're worth. What if God only wants you as your business to build worksheets? Let's say you're a teacher and you're like, I'm going to do this tutoring business. It's this whole big thing. And God's like, no, girl, all you have to do is build out these worksheets and sell those. That's all I asked you to do. You done came up with 1,700 strategies. You're doing coaching calls. You're doing everything but what God actually called you to do. And you're tired and you're trying to figure out why this isn't working. I took that year off work and I said, I'm about to really lean into my nonprofit coaching bag. Girl, I hated it. Did I see fruit? Yes. I had some clients, but it was not sustainable. And by the time I got done, I said, God, thank you for letting me figure out that I hate this. I don't hate nonprofit work. I don't like this as much as I thought. And me trying to make this my primary source of income is not sustainable. I appreciate you letting me figure that out on my own. I'm not really pleased with the resources, time, energy, money that I spent, but God allowed me to learn the lesson. I had to come to the end of myself. We oftentimes are doing things frustrated because God will allow the fruit to dry up, but it's not punishment. It is protection to keep you from building something that he never endorsed. Sustainability is not a productivity issue. It is a spiritual integrity issue. It is about you asking, can this life that I'm building be walked out with God in a way that establishes and maintains peace and integrity over time? I don't mean for a month. I don't mean for a couple quarters. I mean for years. God is not trying to frustrate you, friend. He is trying to set you free. He is freeing you from building something that feels successful but cannot survive. Anything that you build outside of the peace, the pace, and the presence of God is going to look good and break you. And if it does not break you, if you stand in it, when judgment day come, friend, and it gets tested by the fire, it's not going to last. So we have to be mindful. We have to be mindful of this. The fruitlessness that you see is not failure. It is not failure. God wants you to come back to him. He's trying to tell you something. The way that you build a life that does not exhaust you is you have to start focusing on sustainability over survival mode. So let's talk about what it looks like to build a life that is sustainable. When we look in Haggai in verses 5 and 6, the first thing God says in verse 5 is to consider your ways. When God is speaking through Haggai the prophet, he does not rebuke the people for the work that they have not done. What he does is he brings confrontation to places where they've misplaced and mishandled and misstewarded their energy, their effort, and their obedience. The people were working, but their labor was not in alignment with what God has called them to do. This is where true agency comes in. You should be considering your ways. If you don't like the quality of your life, let's consider some ways. We talked about the job situation earlier. If you're in a job now where you don't love it, okay. What don't you love about it? Before you start looking for yet another job to where you are back in another relationship with an employer where it is not conducive, and it's one that is another survival mood or move rather than you in sustainability mode, ask yourself, what is not working well here? Is it the scheduling? Do I not have enough freedom? You have to consider your ways. What about this is burning you out? For me, the amount of time that I spent at work all day, 8 to 6 clinic. I was getting up at 6, wasn't getting home until 7:30, had meetings afterward. It consumed my life during the week. I need freedom in some capacity. And so I know that a schedule like that is not sustainable for me to live. How are you considering the areas of your life that you're frustrated with? We look at it from a point of failure, but we don't take the opportunity to look at it as a signal that I need to redirect my life, start moving in a certain direction to where I can eventually get to a place where I'm making moves that are sustainable. this isn't something that's going to happen overnight, y'all. I'm not saying one click, that's all. But once you are able to start having a sustainability perspective, the way that you give out your yes, the way that you give out your no, what you agree to, what your goals look like, the expectations that you set on yourself and on the Lord, they will shift. In verse 6, God says, "You have sown much and harvested little. You eat, but you never have enough. You earn wages, but put them into a bag with holes." This is literally what survival mode looks like. This is why you are doing but not thriving. Motion, no momentum. Effort, no fruit. Exhaustion. And now a level of discontentment and resentment building up. How do you reclaim your agency? These are four pillars to sustainable living that we need to consider. When I say consider your ways, or when, more importantly, when the Lord says consider your ways. The first thing is cognitive load management. Stop being accountable for things that God did not assign to you. Stop being accountable for things that God did not assign to you. So many of us are trying to fix, keep people from experiencing. We're trying to do all of these other things in the lives of other people. You're living a life that is not sustainable for you because you are determined to try and let your kids live in a way that heals your wounds, but may not necessarily be the life and the rearing and raising them up in the way that they shall go that the Lord has assigned for their life. So many of us project our wounds and try to get our healing through how we treat other people. And so what I'm saying is, for me, I have this thing where it was hard for me because people may or may not show up. This really comes from my dad getting deployed all the time. So especially around my birthday, I usually will plan a trip. I don't really do parties because even though my dad had nothing, he could not do anything about him getting deployed. Everybody, my birthday is the last in our household. My baby sister, her birthday is in February. And then my sister that's right up under me, her birthday is on the 12th of August and mine is on the 20th. My daddy would get deployed. It's the 16th, 17th, 19th, right? It made me not want to necessarily celebrate my birthday. We would do stuff for my birthday before he left, but it's not the same. I say all that to say, now, the way that I show up for people, I want them to feel celebrated. I make it my business that if I love you real bad, I'm going to show up in all of the ways. To me, it's just important. And that is part of me not wanting people to experience what I felt like I experienced. However, the caveat is, what if that's not what that person needs? And we do this with children. We do this in relationships. We bring our love language and the way we like to give love to these relationships. And it isn't necessarily what they need. It's what we want to give. And we do that with our kids, and it's not sustainable. And now you're bitter when your child disappoints you, which they will, when they make mistakes, because they will, because you have framed your whole life and made an idol out of, oh, my kid ain't gonna never experience. They're gonna experience things. But you know what they need to experience? They need to experience you fulfilling the life that God has called you to, because in that, God has already accounted for you being the parent that they need. Stop carrying things that God has not assigned to you. So your cognitive load management. People are oftentimes very busy managing everything except the one thing that God assigned. And so then you have mental clutter. Now all your effort is scattered. Now there's a lot of internal chaos. We call this cognitive overload. The prefrontal cortex in your brain, front part, overloaded with completing tasks, emotional regulation, and then your discernment plummets. So now you're becoming reactive instead of reflective and instead of having the ability to respond. So you're getting stuff done, but there's not a strategic plan in place to make this sustainable. So it's not really producing fruit. So you reclaim your agency by simplifying what's on your plate. Ask God to help you regulate your plate. Go back to the episode where we talked about pacing and pruning. Busyness is not a badge. It really is a sign that you're not living in agency. You're not living in a way that's sustainable. And we got to get in line. You are not limitless. You have a limit. Philippians 4:13 oftentimes gets very much so perverted. You can do all things through Christ who strengthens you, but only the stuff that you're assigned to do. I am not the best basketball player. Just because I put Philippians 4:13 on, oh, I'm about to be in the WNBA. Guess what I'm not about to do if it's not in alignment with what God has called me to do? Be in the WNBA? Let's stop that. You can do what God has called you to do in a way to where you enjoy life. Life is sustainable. And there's a level of freedom. That doesn't mean that you won't have times where there is a sense of urgency or you have more things on your plate. Right now, boards, the app, the podcast. But did you hear me say that there are things that I'm withholding from starting because I know I'm taking boards? That is sustainability. It would not be sustainable for me right now to launch the program for the coaches and the therapists that I'm working on. Why? Because I don't have the time. It would be a mismanagement. That's not sustainable. Sustainability starts when you learn to limit your inputs so you can start really being discerning. So I want you to ask yourself, what things am I trying to manage that God never asked me to build? The second, making sure you prioritize rhythm and recovery. Obedience has a pace, not just a purpose. In Haggai, when God tells them to go, to consider their ways, go up to the hills, bring the wood, build the house so that I may take pleasure in it and I may be glorified, he does not say get back to work immediately. He tells them, hey, get what you need. He introduces process to them. Preparation. And we need these kind of rhythms in psychology. We talk about how the body and brain has this natural need to oscillate between activity and recovery. Burnout happens when you try to build without rest. And a lot of us don't actually take rest as a space and place of recovery. You're recharging, but you're not recovering. Your phone will recharge, but you need to recover. You need to recover. Are you resting for recovery or are you just hopping on the charger so you can get back to doing to what you were doing? And it's so very aesthetically plugged into your calendar, but you're not feeling refreshed, rejuvenated, recovered. When you're operating from survival, you don't feel like you can afford to stop. But sustainability will tell you, I can't afford to be out here without preparation. I can't afford to proceed without preparation. That's sustainable. Obedience that honors God's pace is what is fruitful. So you need to take the time to gather. You need to take the time to rest, to recover, because then clarity is the byproduct of that restoration. So if you are considering rhythms and recovery, ask yourself, where am I building in haste instead of preparing in wisdom? God gives you an idea and you open your computer and get started, you haven't took one thunk or thought about it. You ain't let him get the words out good. You haven't even asked him any further questions. And I'm talking about me. I told y'all this was happening to me when I was doing the app. It was eating me up. Third, value-based living. You need to realign your motives before you rebuild. If you are in a place where you're like, okay, bet, Sharla, I'm going to consider my ways. Consider what you value. A lot of us are living lives that are not even in alignment with who we are and what we value. In verse 4 of Haggai, the Bible says, is it a time for you yourselves to dwell in your paneled houses while my house lies in ruins? And we have to understand that these people were busy, but their values had shifted. They prioritized survival and security over submission to God's agenda. There's something called self-determination theory. And a lot of us have to understand that this drives our motivation. And it really is how we are able to determine what is sustainable. But if you're driven by fear, obligation, shame, burnout is coming. And it's not God's fault. So you have to live with clarity and conviction. If your values are not being examined, then your effort is going to eventually become exploitive, even if it looks godly. So agency means that you're defining what matters before you say yes to adding more to your plate. When your values are hidden under people pleasing, under surviving, you're going to rebuild the wrong thing very beautifully, and it's still not going to be fruitful. So you have to ask yourself, am I building what aligns with God's heart and my values, or am I building out of what calms my fears? Because you're never going to live a life that is fruitful or feel sustainable if you're not doing it based on values. And then finally, boundaries and relational health. Fruitfulness requires focus. And in order to maintain focus, it's going to require you to say no. By the time we get to verse 12 in Haggai, the people hear from the prophet, and it says the people obeyed the voice of the Lord their God, and they feared the Lord reverence. They obeyed. So there was this collective shift, and it was away from self-focused preservation and toward being submitted to God that requires boundaries, not just with external pressures and people, but also internally. Boundaries to say no to the things that are draining you, boundaries to the things that are trying to reassign your energy. Healthy boundaries are boundaries put in place because they help you with clarity, they help you with sustainability, and they protect what God is building in you, relationally, emotionally, and practically. Having good boundaries are not optional. Boundaries oftentimes are not for other people. They're for yourself. They're for you. You allow people to cross your boundaries and then you get mad at them. God uses structure to protect sustainable obedience. It's not up to other people to enforce boundaries. It's up to you. So agency means that you recognize where your yes is sacred and where your no is necessary, because it's a full sentence. My Bible says, let your yes be yes and your no be no. So if you're struggling in this area, you have to ask yourself, where have I spiritualized my overcommitment because I did not want to face rejection? What do I need to let fall so God can build the rest? We have to make sure that we are taking full capacity in our agency by building things that are sustainable in our lives. God gives us direction. He'll give us confirmation. He is not going to micromanage what he's giving you authority and dominion over. Some of us want to be micromanaged. Some of us are exhausted. Here's the good news. In verse 14 of this passage in Haggai 1, it talks about how the Lord stirred up the spirit of the people. Some translations talk about how it gave the spirit gave them a new enthusiasm. What if your lack of motivation is again another signal from the Lord? The stirring did not come until after they considered their ways. After you consider your ways, you get into alignment and you obey, then you're going to find this new pep in your step. I got it. Sustainability does not happen by an accident, sis. It is an act of you co-laboring with God. And that's what he wants from us. He wants us to co-labor with him. You cannot be in control. So we're going to stop blaming burnout on what God requires. A lot of us we're not doing what God requires, and we haven't even asked him. I told y'all, God pulled up on me one day and told me to stop putting a standard on myself that he did not put on me. You are dealing with perfectionism, but Jesus had not need to come if we could be perfect. And we can't. We have to start acknowledging where agency was abandoned for survival, so that way we can build lives that are sustainable. If you want to build a life that does not exhaust you, you have to build it on purpose. So that means that you have to prune what looks good, but ain't going nowhere. You have to start choosing relationships, rhythms, and everything that respect your capacity. And then you have to honor God by honoring the limits that he designed for you. God put a cap on what we could do. And all of that starts by considering your ways. So I pray that you hear what thus saith the Lord. Go read Haggai. If you have the Spiritual Well app, our monthly devotional is all around Haggai 1. God is not going to let you win in survival mode. I'm so excited for everything that God is doing. I pray that this episode blessed you, sis. I cannot wait for our bonus episode this week. I love you, friend. God bless you, and I'll talk to you next week.
With Robinhood, not only can you trade individual stocks and ETFs, you can also seamlessly buy and sell crypto at low costs. Trade all in one place. Get started now on Robinhood. Trading crypto involves significant risk. Crypto trading is offered through an account with Robinhood Crypto LLC. Robinhood Crypto is licensed to engage in virtual currency business activity by the New York State Department of Financial Services. Crypto held through Robinhood Crypto is not FDIC insured or SIPC protected. Investing involves risk, including loss of principal. Securities trading is offered through an account with Robinhood Financial LLC, member SIPC, a registered broker-dealer.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5.
I know where I'm going to bet from now on.
Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.